Hey, everybody. What you're about to hear is a free preview of a podcast on our $5 exclusive episodes tier at patreon.com/retronauts. And if you want to hear the whole thing, please go to patreon.com/retronauts and sign up at the $5 exclusive episodes tier. Once you do that, you'll get access to all of our previous exclusive episodes and our future ones as well, as long as you remain a patron, and our exclusive episodes will launch every other Friday. Again, that is the Retronauts Patreon at patreon.com/retronauts, and I'll let you get to this free preview of one of our exclusive episodes.
I don't think it was the first RPG that Working Designs had localized for the US, but you know, stuff like Cosmic Fantasy II were more of that sort of traditional, like, hey, we stuck some FMV at the beginning of a, you know, basically a Who card game. This was not that, and it sold really, really well. They treated it very, you know, like as it was a deluxe product with a really thick manual with a glossy, like, UV coated cover and embossments. And I think they had like five different CD-ROM labels that were kind of randomly distributed. So they kind of created this collector's mentality, a chase item. And at the same time, it was just like, you know, here is a really nice package, much better than, you know, so many Sega CD manuals were like, you know, the color cover and then black and white interior. And this was not that. This was a deluxe package.
And I even remember that for the first printing of Lunar, the back was not, it didn't have that foil embossment. So for the second printings, you could send in the back insert to Working Designs, and they would replace it for you and give you a free Lunar pin to go along with it. Huh. So they were really dedicated to the packaging there.
Well, that and also, you know, that creates a great relationship with your customers to basically say, like, hey, you got here earlier than everyone else, and we really appreciate that. So we're going to make sure that you get what everyone who came after you got, but also a little bonus to say thanks. That's always a good tactic for, you know, building a strong fan base. And they really did. Like, people really loved Working Designs games. And, you know, Working Designs was a pretty controversial company. It's a founder, Vic Ireland, was very controversial as well. We'll talk about that later. But, you know, for every person who panned Working Designs for their choices, they had someone who was an equally dedicated fan who just loved their work and really appreciated the extra effort they put into their games. Even if, you know, even if they didn't necessarily agree with the direction those changes took, like the fact that they were doing all this really spoke to the fact that, hey, they give a shit about this game and they really, you know, they really are putting their heart into it. And that's so much better than what, you know, you were seeing with games like Lagoon or Paladin's Quest or something, where it's just like, they didn't even bother to localize like proper English into this. They don't care.
Yeah, and we can look at the localization of Lunar and the other games now, and it does seem a little, you know, it can seem juvenile and maybe going too far in rewriting things, but it was really refreshing back then because you rarely saw that sort of flavoring in video games. I mean, you might see something like Dragon View or Troubleshooter where someone went over the text and tried to make it, you know, Americanized, but what Working Designs was doing back then was really unique.
Yeah, I mean, I think on the Nintendo side of things, you know, there were a few games that were competently localized, well localized. You had the ridiculous faux Middle Ages English for, like, faux Shakespearean English for Dragon Warrior and its sequels. And, you know, that at least gave it some personality. But this, I think the Lunar games were the first time that localizers actually kind of inserted themselves into the process and were like, hey, we're the folks who brought this game to English. Let's talk a little bit about our dedication to it. And that was nice. It made you realize, like, oh, there's people who are actually taking these products and turning them into something that works better for me. And they actually care about grammar, which is rare. How nice. So,
oh yes,
go ahead.
Oh, no, that's quite all right. I mean, I was going to bring up, you know, Ted Wilsey's translations for the Square games, which are kind of back then they were generally regarded as pretty very, very good. But they didn't really, you know, intrude too much on the actual meaning of things, and they didn't really try to flavor every townsperson's conversation. So you would still have to go through the usual RPG routines where you would walk around the town, talk to people, and they might, some of them say the same thing. And with working designs, I felt that that was really where they kind of tried to change and spice things up, because you would actually be, when I played, I would be looking forward to talking to every person in the town just to see what they would say. You never knew if it was going to be something plot related or if they just make a joke about Tootsie Pops or something.
Right. It's like, wow, someone in this game made a joke about Star Wars. That's cool. they dropped a Star Wars reference. You never see that in pop culture and video games.
Yeah, there was
it was a different time.
There was so much dialogue compared to other games of the time. Like, you would talk to the townspeople, they'd go through like their two or three pages of regular dialogue, and then you talk to them right after that, there'd be like another page of dialogue, and then after like every event, you could conceivably go back to most towns to hear new things. It was actually slightly overwhelming at times. I think it's why I crapped out on the epilogue of the second game.
Yeah, that's fair, but it definitely made you feel like, wow, there's a lot happening here, and it no longer feels like just kind of this tedious chore to talk to people. Like, I can be assured that I'm going to see something interesting if I talk to people. It might be a Bill Clinton joke, but still,
a joke about welfare. all the hits are there.